One of the things that happens to me leading this church where we get a lot of visitors is I discover at the end of the service, as I'm shaking hands with people at the door, I notice people who are visitors and ask where they're from, and several times I get the confession that they're a minister or priest in the church somewhere across the world. Quite regularly there are clergy in my congregation. Any confessions this morning? Yes, Karen, of course, who's always here. Yes, I'm the Archdeacon of Northern Queensland. You know, I'm a priest in the Episcopal Church in Oregon. You know, I get it quite regularly. 6 years ago was the last occasion, because there's only been one leap year in between, when the conversion of St. Paul fell on a Sunday, and so I took the theme. And that morning, I had two bishops in the congregation. But at least I knew in advance. One was in purple shirt and pectoral cross, Bishop Mike Plusmire, the Bishop, Episcopal Church Bishop of West Virginia. One came in rather in mufti, but confessed who he was, actually to my wife, first of all, who was on welcoming, Jonathan Gledhill, the Bishop of Lichfield. Both were here because it was the beginning of the meeting of the Old Catholic Bishops, and Mike Plusmire is the Episcopal Church's rep to the Old Catholic Churches of the Union of Utrecht, and Bishop Jonathan of Lichfield is the Church of England's bishop to the Old Catholic Churches. Bishop Jonathan, as my wife will tell you, speaks word-perfect German, which is rather useful, as that's their lingua franca. Anyway, so this was the last time I had to preach on the conversion of St. Paul, this occasion when it does fall on a Sunday. And you heard Richard read the first reading. The story actually is recounted twice more in the Acts of the Apostles and by Paul in some of his speeches. While we're talking about names, I should say, of course, that Saul is the Jewish form of his name, whereas Paul is the Greek form. And as he became the apostle to the Gentiles, Greek-speaking people, we tend to use the name Paul, as I will. The story, of course, is a familiar story to many of us, and is led to the expression here in the English language, you know, somebody who had a Damascus Road experience. People say that. In other words, someone who had a dramatic or sudden change of someone's values or of their lifestyle. But I wonder how you react to this story of St. Paul when you read it, or as you've just heard it, read the story of Paul's conversion. I'm sure many of you say, wow, my coming to faith was never like that. Or you might say, oh boy, I wish that had been my experience. But I don't think we should be too envious. Paul expresses elsewhere, including in the reading from Galatians, his regret at what he did to Christians before his conversion. Elsewhere he writes, he was not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Nor, I believe, should it make us think that coming to faith has to be a dramatic experience as it was for Paul. Not everyone sees a blinding light or hears the audible voice of God, though of course some do. For it is the case that sometimes God does intervene in a dramatic way, as with Paul, and I'm sure we all probably know of people who were once ardent cynics or otherwise vague agnostics, who through some dramatic event in their lives have suddenly come to faith. And people like that, just like Paul, are often become very zealous regarding their newfound faith, keen to argue for the very faith they used to argue against. But the story of Paul's conversion is not saying that it must be like that for everyone. You may recall, if you were here last week or in church last week where they follow the Revised Lectionary, Common Lectionary, that we reflected on the call of some of the disciples. And in John's Gospel, from where our Gospel reading came last week, it seems quite clearly to indicate that some of those who followed Jesus had previously been followers of John the Baptist. And therefore, those disciples of Jesus came to a gradual understanding of who Jesus is, aided by John the Baptist, and then by Jesus' own teaching. Yes, eventually, when asked sometime on, who they thought Jesus was, or Jesus himself asked, Peter blurted out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But for the disciples, it didn't happen instantly. It took some time for the penny to drop. And even, of course, for Paul, there were those 3 days described in that reading, where if he was in hospital, there'd be a sign over his bed saying "nil by mouth," you know. And I guess he too, in those 3 days, was digesting what he had heard on the Damascus Road and grappling with how that all fitted in with the Old Testament, in which, of course, he was exceedingly well-trained. He was a good Pharisee. He knew the Old Testament so very well. And then Ananias arrived, prayed for him, and his eyes were opened, not just physically, but I think also spiritually. And he was baptized and regained his strength. Yes, as we consider this story and apply it to ourselves, some coming to faith is dramatic. Suddenly everything clicks. Bang, you got it. For others, it's a gradual, slowly gaining understanding. You can't put an exact date or time on when it happened. Both experiences of coming to faith are valid. Don't let us say that one is better than the other. Both are valid. But within the story, there's another important person besides Paul. Someone who we know nothing about except in this story, Ananias. Now, I want you to imagine the scene and the conversation. Ananias is trying to sleep, and he hears a voice that disturbs him. "Ananias, what? Who is it? I'm trying to sleep." "Ananias, what?" "It's me, God." Oh, yes, Lord, here I am." God continues, "Stop your snoozing. I've got a job for you. I want you to get up and go to Straight Street to the house of a bloke called Judas and look up a guest he's got staying there at the moment. The chap comes from Tarsus and his name is Saul." "His name is what?" "Saul, or Paul if you want it in Greek." "I don't care whether it's Hebrew, Greek or Hungarian. I'm not going. It's more than my life's worth." "Ananias, are you a follower of mine?" "Yes, Lord." "Then go." Hope you get the idea of the scene. Imagine how different the course of Christian history would have been if Ananias had said no. It's worth thinking about, isn't it? But he didn't. Back to what I was preaching about last week. We thought about how we hear the call of God as we talked about the call of the first disciples. I asked 2 questions. Are we listening for God's call? And are we ready to respond to God's call? There is no question that Ananias was listening, and despite his understandable and initial uncertainty, he responded and he went. He obeyed the call of God. And the rest, of course, as they say, is history. The example of Ananias. Finally, for this morning, the gospel reading. I've obviously understandably concentrated on the reading from Acts, the conversion story, and I've made reference to the epistle. In one sense, for the conversion of St. Paul, who doesn't appear in the Gospels, how do you have a Gospel reading? But the passage chosen does relate, for in it Jesus speaks to his disciples, those who follow him, of the eventual reward for those who, like Paul and like Ananias, respond to God's call. I have to say that the last verse of this passage contains one of my favourite sayings of Jesus about the first being last and the last being first. Can I remind you that my surname begins with Y, and only Richard, who actually comes after me alphabetically because he's York and not Yates. I went through my life being last. At one point, I went to secondary school with a Margaret Young, but the registers were done girls first, then boys, so I was still last. Yes. Peter says to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you. What will we have?" Paul gave up all he had stood for and defended for so long, and the status that went with being a learned Jewish Pharisee. Ananias risked his life to be obedient to God's call to him. Yes, God still speaks. God still calls. Have you, like Paul, responded, been converted, if you want to put it in those language, from active opposition or general apathy, which is often more common, to faith and trust in Jesus and the salvation won by him on the cross? And if you have responded in whatever way, and as I said last week, are you listening, like Ananias, for God's call, his direction for your life? And if you're listening, will you, despite his hesitancy, will you be like Ananias and respond, despite what in earthly terms it might cost? Maybe in earthly terms, as Jesus puts it, going from first to last, but in heavenly or spiritual terms, going from last to first. This morning, thank God for St. Paul and his conversion and his life. Thank God for the obedience of Ananias to God's call. And let us pledge to God that we will learn from and follow the example of them both and be obedient to God's call, whatever in earthly terms is the cost. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.